invite Laura back up, and we are just going to sit today and just, I'm going to ask her some questions about Cote d'Ivoire. So instead of a sermon necessarily, we're just going to have a chat. Okay? Is that all right? Awesome.
Wonderful.
So let me pull up my questions here. But first of all, can you just give us a general overview of West Africa and the culture there? So maybe start with the geography there and maybe move into some of the cultural and language bits.
Absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, I'm so happy to be here today to be part of my congregation and get to share a little bit about my home and how I grew up with you guys. As you may have guessed from that video and or seen some of the things from my booth that we have that I brought from home, my life is, the culture that I grew up in is very different than, you know, here in the U.S. I live in Ivory Coast, West Africa, which, ask me on a map later, but is on this part of Africa of your hand, if you're looking at your hand in Africa. We are 2 degrees north of the equator. Let me tell you, it gets hot. Very, very, very warm. I talked to my parents yesterday, and my dad reminded me it was 95 degrees and like 100% humidity. So very, very warm, very sticky. but it is just like the culture, just like the actual climate. People are very warm. Culture is very inviting, and it's very easy to fit into culture there in Ivory Coast. As you may guess, we do have cars. We don't ride lions or camels or anything else, usually, not unless we don't value our lives. But we do have cars, but the average family does not have a car. We normally would take a taxi or what we call a baka, which is kind of what you might consider a like a 12-passenger bus. It has several stops along, you know, its route, and you just pay a couple of CFA to get in, and you ride to where you need to go, and then you get off. But we do have skyscrapers. We have modern technologies, indoor plumbing, electricity. So I grew up in a three-bedroom home. Made of normal, like cement, with a roof, and had running water and electricity, and was able to go to a school. I went to a French school for the first 6 years of my education, and then transferred to an American school for a little while. And then after a couple of political unrest times, ended up going to a boarding school a couple countries over from where my parents currently live. Did I answer all your questions, Emily? I'm sorry, I kind of get a little...
Yes, you did. Okay. So you mentioned something to me called harmattan, which we were kind of preparing for this, and it's called harmattan. Will you explain to everyone what harmattan is?
I will. So as I mentioned, it's really hot in Ivory Coast. We pretty much just classify our living as we have two seasons, wet and wetter. And what I mean by that is that it's very humid and it rains a lot, and then there is rainy season, where it rains even more, like monsoon weather sometimes. I don't want to say alleviate, but to also throw in some mud, once a year we have what we call harmattan, which is where the sand from the Sahara just gets whipped up into the air and is carried down into the rest of the continent. So we have harmattan, which is a very dusty, hazy time of living in Ivory Coast, where you just look out your window and you may or may not be able to see the other side of the road. So that's always fun when we have harmattan and rainy season at the same time. My family, like in February, kind of ended the harmattan. Usually we have harmattan season from the very beginning of December through February. So, you know, imagine getting to put on your clothing and then having to mop every day and then making sure you always have an umbrella, but also, you know, a little chapstick and things like that, because it gets very, very dry in Ivory Coast during harmattan.
Awesome. Thank you. So we did a little bit today in our children's moment, but will you kind of describe a typical service in Cote d'Ivoire, specifically like how long it is and what are the pieces of that service?
Absolutely. So, I love going to church in Ivory Coast, even though it's very long. Even as a young girl, there were some times when I complained about going to long church services, but come to really miss having our services sometimes. But we usually start fairly early, 8, 8:30-ish, whenever a large number of people have gathered in God's name. And we have worship, a lot of prayer, some corporate prayer. We have time where everybody kind of prepares a song, each group prepares a song. And what I mean by that is the worship leader will call for all of the mamas to come with a song, and then all of the papas to come with a song, the children, the young adults. And what that means is that amongst the group, someone from the mamas will come up with a song. All of the mamas will come up and dance in the front, but one mama will, you know, stand up and sing and lead the rest of the congregation in a song. And then everybody gets up and dances and participates. And it just kind of goes down the line. The papas get to give a song, the children, the young adults. So usually after a time of, you know, bringing songs, we have, you know, offertories, and then we have a sermon. Lots more singing and dancing at the end. A lot of times we also have a meal at the end of our service. We do have children Sunday school classes and things like that, but a lot of the children will stay right up until the sermon and then go on to their children's church and or Sunday school. Did I mention
anything else? How long does that typically last?
I shocked Emily when I told her this, but usually our services are anywhere between 4 and 6 hours. So if we get out by noon, we're doing real good. Like the pastor was ready to eat. If not, you know, you better be prepared to stay till 2, and then, you know, have your meal afterwards. So if
we get out a little late today, I think we'll all be okay.
It'll probably be my fault because I'm running on African time, as we say. So.
All right. So Laura, what is something that you miss about home in Cote d'Ivoire?
I had a lot of things in mind. The first thing that came to my mind when Emily asked this question was food. I miss Ivorian food. We have some really, really good food, street food, as well as like prepared meals. My favorite is we have sauce arachide in Futu, which is a peanut sauce. For those of you weird Hoosiers, I've just found out, that like to eat peanut butter sandwiches with your chili. It's a new concept to me, but you would love this sauce because it's full-on peanut butter, delicious decadence over rice, and usually we have it with futu, which is a pounded yam, and manioc. So usually it's a combined. We get all these wonderful starches covered in wonderful peanut butter deliciousness with usually either a chicken or a beef of some type. But we have great street food, too. Unfortunately, I didn't get to bring any this time, but next Faith Promise, you better believe I'll bring some aloko, which is it's fried banana plantains. Ooh, they're so good. I know lots of cultures have them, but I have to say I think mine has the best of all of the fried plantains. So,
awesome. Okay, so as we move into talking about the mission aspect of Cote d'Ivoire in Africa, what is the largest mission goal that you think is at the center of what the missionaries and your parents are doing in Cote d'Ivoire?
Yeah, thank you. So my parents were career missionaries to Ivory Coast for 26, 27 years. Through the course of their ministry, they have done church planting, evangelism. Most recently, they've done a lot of leadership development. My father was very instrumental in creating, founding, and helping with IBAO, the French Institute in Africa. So it's like a school of theology that my father has helped create and help. They're currently helping get young leaders trained, taught, and sent out so that they themselves can be pastors of their own churches and lead their their fellow brother and sister. That has been a focus for a really long time for my family. Bobby and Jenny have come and are helping my parents in this ministry, as well as creating a whole lot of new ministries and finding new ways to reach out and support the Ivorian people. Most recently, if you guys are Church of God, you know of the Children of Promise. We have Les Enfants de Promesse, which is the French chapter of Children of Promise. I know Emily and I were talking about this, and lots of people have children that they have sponsored through Children of Promise over the years. If you're looking to sponsor a new child, we have lots of young children that we we have personal connections with, have grown up, around these folks. So that's something new that, Bobby and Jenny are focused on, as well as there are some event centers and some things like that that they're trying to work on over the next couple of years. Currently, my parents are shifting into a new position and that they are doing some outreach for French-speaking Africa. Both of my parents are it's the opposite of challenge. Like, they're very good at languages, and they're both very called to French-speaking Africa. They both have a passion and a desire to communicate with people that speak French. And so they are beginning a new project where they are getting to travel and support and find new ways to outreach in the different countries that speak French across all of Africa. Of which, does anybody know how many French-speaking countries there are in Africa? Shout it out. Anybody? More than 10? More than 15? 26. Really close. There's 26 French-speaking countries. Good job. So there are a lot of French-speaking countries in Africa, of which my parents, my dad, and my mom are very passionate about reaching out to. So I'm sorry that was long-winded. Did I answer the question?
No, that's perfect. So something that I'm hearing is that this is a shift that maybe some of you might not know, and that's okay, but the missions isn't about taking the American church to a different country and telling them how to do church according to our American culture. It's about taking the resources that we're blessed to have, not just from America, from a lot of different countries, and sharing them with people who might not have the same resources and training them so that they can create a stronger congregation in their own culture. So raising up leaders from their culture, because, who is better at ministering to people than someone who understands you, right? And I think that's why, God is called the Wonderful Counselor, right? Because he knows us best. And so that is kind of the idea of missions that most missionaries now are very passionate about, but specifically the Church of God and Global Strategy and what the Sellers and the Michels are doing. It's about empowering the church where they're at and helping them that way. So thank you for answering that. And I have one last question for us. So as someone who has been in a missionary family, I know that you were not a missionary, but you're a missionary kid. I was a pastor's kid growing up, so I kind of get this, but what is some way that we can support missionaries from your perspective? I know we have a lot of ideas of how we can support missionaries, but what would, if you were to say, this is actually what we need, this is actually how we want to be supported, what do you think your answer for that would be?
This is a great question, and Emily stumped me the first time that she asked it. I had to think about it and see what I really thought about that. And I think that I thought about some of my experiences growing up and some churches that really meant a lot to me personally growing up, and some of the ways that they blessed my family. And particularly, I'm going to say me as a missionary kid, a lot of times, as Emily maybe can attest to, sometimes,
don't grab the end.
So sorry. My apologies, guys. sometimes, the children sometimes don't always feel seen by the larger ministry that's happening. And I've thought a couple of times about some churches that really turned that around for me growing up, some ways that they really focused on making a relationship with me and my little brother growing up, and being a part of my parents' ministry and seeing that we were important, we were valued, and that we were worth having a relationship with as well. And I just think that that's really what I'm coming back to, is that finding ways to be in relationship with the missionaries that you're supporting, and choosing ministries that you guys have personal connections to is already an amazing step to be able to connect small but in great ways. Finding ways to just single out show appreciation for the ministry that both the adults and the kids are doing. The thing that kind of came to my mind that I was thinking about is encouraging letters. I think we all can say that it's really fun to go to the mailbox and get something other than a bill. Finding a way to just write a little letter to somebody that we support, just encouraging them, just saying somebody's thinking about you and praying about you. We in the Church of Meridian are thinking about you. We're praying for you. You've crossed our mind this week and many weeks, and we just want you to know that, you know, you are with us in spirit. We are praying for you. A lot of times, you may or may not know this, but a lot of times it's a wonderful idea to give like a care package. In our experience to Ivory Coast specifically, that's difficult. Just because a lot of times the Postal Service will hold some of our packages for ransom and wanting to get paid money to get, you know, to deliver stuff. So a letter really goes a long way. And just knowing that there are people out there that are thinking and praying. As I said before, just really making those personal connections of being able to say, you know, I am so-and-so at this at Church of God in Meridian, and I was, you know, I'm thinking about you, praying about you, we've been blessed by, you know, the video that you sent, or whatever the case may be, just finding ways to make those personal connections and show the appreciation.
Awesome. Thank you. So one more thing we are going to do before Laura and I get out of here and we invite our worship team back up is something that is very popular in a lot of African services, but specifically in Cote d'Ivoire, and that's corporate prayer. So this in traditional African services goes on for a very long time. I'm going to set a timer for us on my phone. We're going to do it for 1 minute. Okay, and what this is going to look like is we are all going to pray out loud together, all at the same time, out loud together. And you can pray about the nation, you can pray for Meridian, you can pray for our missionaries, you can pray for people who are sick, you can pray for your family or for yourself. But we are going to pray out loud together for 1 minute, and I want you to remember that this goes on for hours, right? Sometimes in Africa. So just know that, like, they know how to do prayer, all right? And so if you feel awkward, just think there is something that you can learn from the church in Africa, right? So, all right, 1 minute, starting now. Everyone, we're going to pray out loud, and I'll say amen all together when the timer goes out, all right? And go.